in the limelight.
European distrust of American motives was behind the EU leaders' recent signing of a comprehensive agreement on investment with China over the urgent objections of the Donald Trump administration and Joe Biden's transition team. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by the staff of Asia Times website. This article is published under the heading, Two-Faced U.S. Trade Policy Erodes Atlantic Alliance. Stay tuned for the details, please. European distrust of American motives was behind the EU leaders' recent signing of a comprehensive agreement on investment with China over the urgent objections of the Donald Trump administration and Joe Biden's transition team. Washington's restrictions on trade and investment with China, Europeans believe, provide pretext for dodgy deals that favor U.S. companies at the expense of competitors on the other side of the Atlantic. The Trump administration, of course, has long been in a trade war with Beijing, and there have been numerous news reports that Biden's advisors had let European officials know they hoped for a delay that would give the new administration time to chime in before finalization of the pact. Matt Pottinger, deputy national security advisor to Trump, issued a statement saying, "Leaders in both U.S. political parties and across the U.S. government are perplexed and stunned that the EU is moving towards a new investment treaty right on the eve of a new U.S. administration. Europe has ignored the pressure because Washington isn't fighting a war, but rather is talking war while American companies work out their side deals with China." One cause of European rancor, the Financial Times reported on December 24th, is that U.S. authorities grant exceptions to American companies trading with China while denying them to Europeans. European tech executives and diplomats are accusing the U.S. of using its sanctions regime to shut them out of the Chinese market while offering exemptions for American companies, the newspaper reported. Over the past 2 years, the U.S. has imposed aggressive sanctions on Chinese companies such as Huawei and, as of Friday, the chipmaker SMIC, which have prevented them from buying most U.S.-made technologies. The Financial Times quoted an unnamed European senior executive as saying the sanctions had created an America-first trade policy. So far, U.S. companies have been given licenses to supply Huawei, while European suppliers cannot. Many European businesses that produce chips and chip-making equipment are affected by American sanctions because they rely on U.S. intellectual property. A second European tech executive complained of having once been stopped from supplying components to Chinese buyers because of suspicions that they could be used for military purposes, but the market for the components was quickly filled by U.S. vendors selling through middlemen. We'll be right back. Trade restrictions always provide opportunities for special treatment of politically connected, regardless of which party is in power, as the Wall Street Journal observed in a December 28 editorial. As Mr. Trump's tariffs began to bite, Congress sent hundreds of letters to the U.S. Special Trade Representative supporting specific tariff exclusions. Despite U.S. sanctions, there is no shortage of computer chips in China, which expects to install 10 million 5G base stations by 2024. Huawei has limited access to the top-of-the-line chips that power high-end smartphones, with transistor gate width of 7 nanometers or less, but it doesn't need them for its mobile broadband infrastructure. The U.S. sanctions have nuisance value for Huawei, but haven't stopped the Chinese broadband juggernaut. Sales of American chip design and testing software to Chinese customers boomed during 2020, as there are reports in December 24th analysis, the tech war that isn't. Cadence, one of the top three American firms, doubled its Chinese sales during the third quarter, although the Commerce Department banned sales to Huawei's high silicon chip design subsidiary, Chinese startups staffed by former top engineers for the American design firms, and in some cases funded by the American firms, have hired Huawei engineers to produce the same designs under a different corporate logo. China is the world's biggest market for chip design, and American firms can't maintain their lead without selling to China. No American firm manufactures telecom infrastructure. The Trump administration declined to mobilize American resources to create a competitor to Huawei, and also refused to put money behind the number two telecom equipment maker, Sweden's Ericsson. The Trump administration wasn't offering any such incentives, a fatal mistake, given the cold shoulder by Cisco. Kudlow then started listening to the software industry, which claimed that fancy coding could turn generic computer components into an alternative to Huawei. He enthused to Wall Street Journal, Dell and Microsoft are now moving very rapidly to develop software and code capabilities that will in fact replace a lot of the equipment. To code Michael Dell's software is eating the hardware in 5G. To a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And to software companies, the solution to every problem looks like a million lines of code, especially if the federal government provides $1 billion subsidy. That is what the Software Industry Coalition, the Open Radio Access Network, is demanding from the federal government. It's one of the worst ideas to pass muster in American industry since New Coke, as Cressel explained. No one knows if it will work. Software might substitute for the sophisticated custom chips that filter out the signal from the noise in ultra-high-speed 5G transmissions, but they might not. It will take about 5 years to find out, according to industry experts, and the debugging and testing of billions of lines of code probably would take another 2 years. Network security has been the Trump administration's stated concern about Huawei 5G networks, but an open access system with thousands of access points offers countless opportunities for malign actors. Worst of all, the software solution only handles the routing of information once it is transmitted from a base station to a central network. the 5G applications for the Internet of Things, including autonomous vehicles and self-programming industrial robots, require greater computing power in the base station itself to allow the 5G network to communicate with client machines. There are a couple of small-scale test projects for O-RAN approach in Europe, but European telecom experts view the software-based solution as another feckless American welfare program for the world's richest tech companies. That's why Europe in November put forward its own declaration of independence from American semiconductor technology. In early December, the EU agreed on a European initiative on processors and semiconductor technologies, committing about $30 billion of the European Recovery and Resilience Facility funds to digital sovereignty. As Thierry Breton, the EU Commissioner for Internal Market, put it, Europe has all it takes to diversify and reduce critical dependencies. A collective approach can help leverage existing strengths and embrace new opportunities as advanced processor chips play an ever more important role for Europe's industrial strategy and digital sovereignty. That, of course, means reducing dependence on U.S. intellectual property. China is, of course, paying close attention. A European diplomat based in China told the Financial Times, "This declaration shows that European governments want to be less dependent on U.S. technology, although that will take a long time. This process was accelerated by the U.S. sanctions. For European companies, China is such a big market that they need to find ways of serving it." That remark was cited in a report on the Comprehensive Agreement on Investment on December 31st on the Chinese political website, guancha.cn.